It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back to throw. They pick up the blitz. Throws one left down the sideline into the end zone. Touchdown! Hakeem Nicks!
Nick takes the snap again. Pumps.
He's going to get sacked by Tuck. Fumbles the football. Giants have it at the 26-yard line.
Draw right for Bradshaw. Cuts at the one. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown.
Nice run by Bradshaw to run it in for 4 yards out.
Manning will throw on first and 10. Keeps one deep down the left side for Manningham, who makes the catch, gallops out of a tackle to the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
And we welcome you into Big Blue Kickoff here on this Tuesday morning, December 11th, all brought to you by Andrew Mark as we turn our attention to the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Lance Meadow alongside John Schmelk.
Hello.
We're going to be taking your phone calls throughout the course of the next hour, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat, number sign Giants Chat. Want to hear your thoughts as the Giants now prepare to go up against the top team in the NFC, the 11-2 Atlanta Falcons. And John, before we get into the Falcons, probably smart to just notate two injuries that the Giants are dealing with right now. Prince Amukamara, Tom Coughlin talked about yesterday, strained hamstring. Right now, a day-to-day situation. They'll continue to evaluate his progress. Perhaps he'll be able to go against the Falcons. And then Ahmad Bradshaw, another round of tests. I know it's basically, where have we seen this script before? But nothing to be too concerned about. I don't think Coughlin, you know, raised the red flag. But given what his injury history has been, you wonder, can he make it through the next 3 weeks?
Maybe they can release a new version of the Operation board game and a New York Giants version, just have Ahmad Bradshaw there so they can do like the full battery of tests and do whatever you got to do. But look, Bradshaw's been through this before. He's probably going to play. He's a tough guy. He usually plays through this type of stuff. But the Prince Amukamara thing, if I'm a Giants fan, would concern me a whole lot. And here's why. You're playing against the team in the Falcons next week, who really their two best players are the two wide receivers, Roddy White and Julio Jones. Both guys with size, with speed, with athleticism. So Hosley's a rookie. You know, he struggled this year a bit anyway. He's on the smaller side. You don't want him lined up man-to-man against one of those guys outside. Remember, Michael Coe's no longer here. Then you're looking at the Justin Tryons of the world, and that could get ugly. So it'll be very important for Prince Amukamara to be ready to go in this game. And even if he plays and he's not 100%, you better give him some help over the top against either Roddy White or Julio Jones, because those guys are extremely talented. And this year, probably the best wide receiver tandem in the NFL, and it's probably not close.
And by the way, it took us 13 weeks, but we get to talk about a big fan of the program, one of our favorite all-time wide receivers in the NFL. Harry Douglas is back.
He's a very shifty slot receiver. He's back. He was hurt a little earlier in the year, but he's been a factor the last few years. The Falcons only play three wide receivers. No one else really gets on the field. They love Harry Douglas in that slot, compliment Tony Gonzalez and those two big guys outside extremely well.
Well, there's concern about the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
I know the Giants are not concerned, but Atlanta Falcons Nation is a little bit worried after the loss to the Carolina Panthers this past weekend, 30-20. Carolina absolutely dominated in
that first half. Bad matchup for them. The Falcons have had a bad run defense all year. That's kind of been their Achilles heel. As you well know, the Panthers like to pound the football. D'Angelo Williams had about 50 yards rushing. Cam Newton had over 100 yards on the ground in that game. And there was an incident at the end of that first Panther-Falcon game earlier in the year. It was a close game. Remember, that was the game when Julio Jones caught that prayer Hail Mary and they had a last-second field goal to beat the Panthers. After the game, there was some yapping on the field between the players. Matt Ryan telling people, get off our field, get off our field.
It was rated R.
So, yes, I cleaned it up a little bit. So the Panthers are a little fired up, and rightfully so. And I think you saw them take it to Atlanta, and really they were just more physical. They beat the Falcons up. I think the Falcons in the first half ran 13 plays from scrimmage in that game. I think they had the ball for only 3 minutes in the entire first quarter in terms of time of possession. And something like, I think, 8 minutes or 12 minutes in the entire first half. It was lopsided, like you said. They made a run in the second half. They came to within 10, but then a D'Angelo Williams 50 yards reception for a touchdown kind of pulled that game out of reach. And I think that's kind of the formula the Giants have to look at here. You're going to have to try to run the football, something they have not been able to do for the last six quarters.
Yeah, it's been an up-and-down performance the last couple of weeks, and hopefully Ahmad Bradshaw is healthy enough, but I think the emergence of David Wilson is promising for the Giants, too, and if they can get him out into open space on that turf, which could be very friendly to Wilson, I think they should have success against this Atlanta front. I mean, the Panthers just bullied them around. I mean, they shredded them for 475 total yards.
That's a lot of yards.
Panthers got nearly 500 total yards of offense against this Falcons D, which is pretty much middle of the pack in terms of the rankings, 22nd against the run, 16th against the pass. In terms of their pressure packages, it really starts and ends with John Abraham, who has 10 of their 28 sacks. I mean, they've got a decent linebacker core, but they have yet to find a complement to Abraham on the opposite side for that other defensive end spot.
Well, they tried Ray Edwards, and they cut him earlier in the year. Has anybody signed Ray Edwards, by the way? Has he been picked up anybody? I haven't heard if he has been or not, but he was a very good player in Minnesota playing opposite Jared Allen, but he simply did not get the job done in Atlanta. And look, the Atlanta Falcons are vulnerable. I realize they're 11-2. They still have the best record in the NFL after beating the Houston Texans last week. Lost last night to the Patriots. So they have the best record in the NFL. They already clinched the NFC South. But look, there are some warts here, Lance. They have the worst strength of schedule in the entire league. They've only beaten three teams with an above 500 record. That's very, very poor. Eight of their 13 games, has been decided by 7 points or less. In those games, they're 7-1. So they've won a lot of those close games. The Falcons have not been dominating teams week in, week out. They've played close games. Their offense has transformed since the Giants saw them last year. More of a passing team, less of a running team. Michael Turner seems to have aged a whole lot since last year. A lot more of Jacquez Rogers, their backup running back, much smaller, quicker guy they use in the passing game a little bit. So it's a very different Falcon team, but it's a Falcon team, despite the record, that can be beat, despite the fact they're extremely good at home. 32-6 under Mike Smith at home. They've won 10 straight. So, look, they're good, but they certainly are a beatable team.
And how about this stat? I was reading this earlier today. Under Mike Smith, since Matt Ryan took over as quarterback, they have not lost back-to-back games. And they are coming off a loss, period.
Really? That's a good one.
And they are coming off a very tough loss against the Carolina Panthers. And I said this all week. I think they're going to be motivated based on how they performed last year in that playoff game and the fact that, you know, the Giants have not wrapped up the division. The Falcons have, but they're still trying to secure that number one seed. But they have an opportunity to really shake things up in the NFC East. And you mentioned, John, how they have evolved into a passing offense. Yeah. But to me, what's mind-boggling is Matt Ryan got off to an incredible start. First five games, 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and maybe it was because the defenses are trying to also adjust to what the Falcons' offense was producing. Now, the last 8 games, 11 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. So clearly, something's off with the Falcons' offense. They have not been able to get Roddy White going consistently. I know Julio Jones has been battling some injuries, so he's been a little up and down. Tony Gonzalez was red hot to start, and he had one or two games where he's gotten the numbers up. He had a decent game against the Saints on Thursday night and against the Bucs a week prior, but they have not been able to utilize him in open space, and the fact that they've been playing a lot of close games means that this passing attack hasn't been nearly as dominant as it had in the first five contests of this
season. Yeah, you mentioned the stats. Past six games, Matt Ryan, 7 touchdowns, 8 picks. He's just not playing real well. 67% completion, 86 quarterback rating, and 2 of his last 4 games, he's had his 2 lowest completion percentage games of the season. So you're right. He has not played well recently. The Falcons appear vulnerable despite the fact, as you mentioned, they've never lost back-to-back games under Mike Smith. Extremely good at home. I mentioned the record. And Matt Ryan at home has a pretty sick record as well. I don't have it in front of me. And they're also good when they get the lead. The Falcons, when they get the lead, are a very good football team. They're 30-2 under Mike Smith when the Falcons score first. So the Giants should try to get out to our lead here, maybe put the Falcons behind the eight ball a little bit, turn them into a one-dimensional team. And that's when the Giants' defense in the secondary, to me, Lance, really seems to play extremely well. You saw it against the 49ers. You saw it against the Packers. Last week, you saw it against the Saints. When they force another team to be one-dimensional, you can unleash the pass rush a little bit more, and that secondary gets a little more confident. They know they can afford to make a mistake, so they try to make some more plays on the ball, get some turnovers, take it the other way.
And they've played two great passing attacks. They've played the Packers, and they've played the Saints recently. And what did they do? They made them one-dimensional. They forced Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees to attempt about 46 passes, and that's clearly what you want to do. You look at the games that Matt Ryan has struggled in. That Arizona game when he threw 5 interceptions, he had 46 attempts. And then the game prior to that against the Saints, which they lost 31-27, it was a relatively close game, but he had 52 attempts. And he only threw one pick, but the bottom line is any good quarterback in this league, as we've been talking about for weeks, if you force them to become one-dimensional, if you force them to go pass heavy, then all of a sudden the Giants are going to be in a position to capitalize, and guys like Antrell Roll and Stevie Brown, who have had a knack to get to the football, should be able to thrive against this Falcons offense. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Taking your phone calls here on Big Blue Kickoff, we start with Mike in New Jersey. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Mike?
I was wondering what you think is the key to getting the Giants' offense going again, because it seemed like in the Saints game it was the ticket of the return game. Do you think that'll continue with Wilson doing so well? Or?
Well, quite frankly, I think the Giants' offense also did pretty well against the Saints, Mike. Granted, they were giving gifts of great field position by that special teams unit, but the offense did get the ball in the end zone. They did well in the red zone, which is something they've struggled with all year long. The running game got going a little bit in the second half. You'd like to run the ball a little bit better. Eli threw for a lot of yards. Granted, he left some plays out there on the field. But I thought the offense was fine against the Saints. Can it be sharper? Sure. What needs to happen? I mean, can I wave a magic wand and make Akeem Nicks 100%? If I can do that, that'll make the Giants' offense hole real fast.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for the phone call, 201-939-4513. It will be interesting, though, John, given the favorable field position and the average starting field position was their own 48-yard line, how this offense could do against the Falcons, for example, if they don't have that favorable field position. You can't bank on that. So let's say this offense needs to put together consistently 70 to 80-yard drives. My biggest concern with the offense, just from what we saw the last couple of weeks, is penalties, them just shooting themselves in their own foot. They're their biggest enemy, in my opinion. It's not necessarily what the defenses are doing to this Giants offense. It's a matter of can they stay well-disciplined if they have to put a lengthy drive together.
Well, and turnovers, too. So Eli Manning with the two bad passes against the Saints and against the Redskins, besides the penalty problem, I think their average starting field position was around the 15-yard line in that Redskin game, and they can never sustain a long enough drive without making that mistake that you mentioned to get the ball into the end zone, and that's when they were settling for field goals. A lot easier to go 50 yards and get in the end zone than to go 80 yards and get in the end zone. So if the special teams can step up again, the defense can shut the Falcons down, get that good field position, it makes it a lot easier on Kevin Gilbride and company.
And let's not forget, a lot of talk about David Wilson, what he did for the special teams unit. Dominic Hixon.
Yeah.
Taking back his role was also a big lift in terms of getting about 9 yards per return. That was also a big key, and if they can get a good balance between those two, that can help them in the long run as well. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Jay in Irvington. Jay, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Jay?
I was basically thinking about how David Wilson played, and because of the way he played, I think Tom Coughlin lets the leash off a little bit more this week against the Falcons. And just looking at the Falcons team, they're not a physical team. Like, I don't really look at them. You don't think of them as an intimidating physical force.
They are not.
Ball. So I just don't really think that us, on a mental standpoint, take them or will be intimidated by anything they do out on the field. And I think we'll have a good game offensively and definitely defensively. I think we'll get after the quarterback this week.
Well, Jay, they might not be intimidating, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't take them seriously at the same time. Despite the fact they have some weaknesses, they still are 11-2. They're still extremely disciplined, and they play very well at home. So despite the fact they're not the most physical team in the world, the last thing you want this Giants team to do is get comfortable. We know what happens when this Giants team gets comfortable.
Not meaning getting comfortable. I mean as far as being a little timid in doing certain things that we do against certain teams. Like, we get timid, we don't do certain things like blocking and pass rushing. But against the Falcons, I just think we'll be a different team out there against them.
All right, Jay. Well, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. And, I mean, just in terms of the Falcons not being a physical team, I think part of that is because they've struggled somewhat in running the football consistently this year. They're just 27th in terms of where their rushing attack ranks, just over 86 yards per game. They have the 8th overall offense, but a lot of that is due to the emergence of Matt Ryan and how he has progressed as a quarterback, and they've really been airing it out as opposed to feeding it on the ground because Michael Turner struggled to start the season. And let's get back to the fact that the Falcons played a lot of close games. That, to me, also means that teams have had trouble putting the Falcons away. You can look at it from the perspective, yes, the Falcons have had trouble spreading the wealth and putting other their opponents away, but also teams have had issues closing the door on Atlanta. That's why they've been able to squeak by and win so many close games. Carolina was in position to win that first matchup. Could not do it. Arizona could not capitalize on 5 interceptions against Matt Ryan. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost by a point. They were in a position to win that game. So even if the Giants are in this contest, it's going to be important for them to close out a football game. And I think with David Wilson, if he can continue to progress and you get that rushing attack going more consistently, that's the way you slam the door on it.
And that goes back to not making mistakes, Lance. If you're consistent and you play good football and you don't make those mistakes, you'll win close games. When you're in a close game, every small error and mistake has the opportunity to bite you right in the fanny. So you got to be careful as you move forward against a team like the Falcons, who are so good at home, 11-2. They've won so many close games. You can't make those types of mistakes that are going to hurt you. That means you can't commit penalties. You can't lose the turnover battle. And you got to hold on to the football. If you do those three things, you should be able to win this game.
All right, let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Eric overseas in Australia. Eric, what's happening?
Good morning, and certainly it's morning here as well as morning in your neighborhood, Lance. Great job and great show.
Appreciate that. Thanks for listening.
I would ask you this, and that is certainly the way that the Giants' defense gave up over 400 yards of offense to the New Orleans Saints in this last game. And I'm just wondering if that is certainly a concern in the remaining three games, given the fact that the Giants are, in fact, in a really hot and highly contested NFC East race involving both the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys. Whether or not, as they face the upcoming game, the upcoming contest with Atlanta, and then following the Baltimore Ravens, and then with Philadelphia, those are always crazy games anyway. If, you know, the Giants are getting healthier on defense as they approach these last three games in the regular season, I'll let you go because this is costing me a pretty penny, but thank you for having me on, and God bless Giants.com.
Well, we appreciate you spending some additional money, Eric, to reach out to us here on Big Blue Kickoff. And, you know, it is a bit concerning that the Giants gave up that amount of yardage against the New Orleans Saints. So I think you have to take into consideration, not to make excuses for the Giants' defense. The Saints were in the catch-up mode, and I think they were throwing a lot and airing it out and taking a little bit more chances.
So how many yards did they have in the first half, though? I mean, I think the Saints probably put up 200-plus yards in the first half. They ran for 105.
Well, mostly
I know Drew Brees probably had 100 yards in the air in the first half, too, I would imagine. If not for those turnovers, it's probably a different game. So I think if there is a concern for the Giants as they go down the stretch of this season, is can the defensive line become that dominant force they were last year when they went on the Super Bowl run? We just haven't seen it. They gave 200 yards rushing to the Washington Redskins. They gave 140 yards rushing to the New Orleans Saints. They let Drew Brees go up and down the field on them, even though they got turnovers and kept them out of the end zone here and there, they still marched up and down the field. Same thing for the Redskins. The defense could not get off the field in the second half. Redskins dominated time of possession in the third and fourth quarter of that game. So, to me, that's the big concern for this team as they go down the stretch lines. Can this defense turn the knob a little bit here and look like the team that they look like at the end of last season?
And you can't rely on turnovers. I know this team has been so good and so opportunistic, but eventually it's going to run out.
How many games last year, especially in the playoffs, 49ers, the Packers, and I even think the Falcons had a good turnover ratio last year. I don't quite remember, but I know for sure the Niners and the Packers went to that game. I think the Packers were plus 24 or something like that.
They barely turned the ball over.
And the 49ers set a record. They were like plus almost 30 in that game. So, and you go in and you're like, well, this defense, they really turn you over. But more often than not, you can have an occasional great play by a defender like Stevie Brown had against the Saints last week when he jumped in front of Jimmy Graham. Legitimate great defensive play. But look, that Marquez Colston fumble, that's a self-inflicted wound. That wasn't a special hit. It was a nice hit. But I've seen guys hold on to the ball 95 out of 100 times on a hit like that. Jed Miller. He doesn't hold the ball close to his body. Instead of trying to run over Anchorage, he tries to juke him, which I don't know what he was thinking, but that's what he tried to do. Turns into a fumble. You can avoid mistakes. And if you rely on turnovers to win games for you, you play a really good team, eventually you're not going to get them.
The Bears are another perfect example this season.
Perfect example.
Earlier this year, they were on a tear. One turnover after another. It was an amazing rate. Now, all of a sudden, you see the level of production has fallen off. And granted, they've had some injuries they've had to deal with. But, you know, the turnovers are not always going to be there when you need them the most. That's why you need to correct the fundamentals.
Yep.
And that does start, as you mentioned, John, with the defensive line. If the pressure comes back, and I'm going to throw this out again, specifically the interior pressure to me. I know there's so much talk about OC, JPP, and Tuck winning their man man battles, but I'd like to see better production from Canty, Linville Joseph.
Yeah, but you don't expect
those are the guys that
sacks,
I think could be
though.
The difference.
But you know what?
Makers.
You're not paying those guys to get sacks. You're paying those guys to stop the run.
Well, there
I
we
want
go.
To see those guys stop the run. I want to see these guys on the outside get some sacks. We went through the numbers yesterday. JPP, 6.5 sacks. We've played 13 games. That's a half a sack a game. I'll say it. That stinks. That has to be better. OC, 6 sacks in 13 games. These guys have been healthy all year. It's got to be better. Tuck has, what, 3.5? It's got to be better. It's got to be better. And you pay these guys all this money, that's the strength of your team, and they always complain, oh, no, you know, nobody respects us. Well, sack the quarterback some more. Get some more consistent pressure on the quarterback. We haven't seen it.
And even if you look at the resume of the games this season, I'm trying to think of what game would you say any of those three defensive ends really put their name on it. The JPP, I think he made an impact in that Cowboys game. He had the return for the touchdown.
Yeah.
Had some big hits.
He had the great interception, yeah.
So I'll give him that game. Outside of that,
no.
Do you really point to Jason Pierre-Paul a big reason as to why the Giants won another contest outside of the Cowboys
OC game? OC had that big strip sack against the Packers, which really helped when he strip sacked Aaron Rodgers in the second half. That was a pretty big play. But besides that, no.
Quiet.
It's been a very quiet season for the defensive line, and when that's the strength of your team, when your bread and butter is supposed to be pressuring the other team's quarterback and putting them out of rhythm and dominating the line of scrimmage, haven't seen it.
All right, let's go back to the lines, 201-939-4513. We got Doug in South Carolina. Doug, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff. What you got?
Hey, Lance Young, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
My point was going to be that I think that the offense has been driving this team. I mean, any Giants fan who's been watching for years, it was always the defense. But it seems like, you know, our defense plays okay, especially in the last 2 years, and that the offense carries us. The other point I was going to say is I'm really happy the way the timing has come from Eli and his receivers. You know, it seems like everything's clicking on all cylinders at the right time. The line's giving good protection. But my one question, I haven't even seen or heard Reuben Randall's name. Did he not get packages? Is he hurt? Just curious, guys.
Thanks. Well, I think they're trying to get more time to Dominic Hickson now that he's back from injury. Quite frankly, I think the team got, and thanks a lot for the call, I think the team got sick of watching Reuben Randall running the wrong routes. I mean, it cost the Giants an intentional grounding penalty against the Redskins. We've seen a number of miscommunications between himself and Eli Manning. So I think that's why you're seeing less from Reuben Randall out there on the field, because he frankly isn't getting the job done when he's out there, and you're going to see more Drell Journey, and you're going to see more of Dominic Hickson, and maybe even Ramsey's Barden. So I think that's important. In terms of the offense carrying this team, you're right to the point that in the regular season of last year, the offense has carried this team. But in the playoff run last year, those final six games, it was the defense that really made the difference. They shut the Packers down in the playoffs, best offense in football. They shut out the Falcons. And then the 49ers couldn't do anything in the second half of that game either. And the defense, what, they held the Patriots to how many points in the Super Bowl? Only 20, which is fantastic. So
they kept them in check.
The defense turned it on. And I think that really made the difference end of last year. I got to run, Lance.
All right,
enjoy
we'll let you go. We will enjoy the rest of the show.
I will try to get back with some more nuggets at the end of the program if
that's
I can.
That's only what we expect on every Tuesday.
But don't wait for me.
Okay.
Okay.
We may keep a little time.
Just wrap at 10:30.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right.
See you later.
We got your permission. Thank you. John Schmelk joining us this morning here on Big Blue Kickoff to help preview the Atlanta Falcons. And just piggybacking off of the point that John brought up, the identity of this team last season during that playoff run was all about the defense. I mean, the offense was good, but it was the defense that really turned the corner, clicked at the right time, OC came back healthy, and then all of a sudden, the Giants are going on that magical run where they close out the regular season on a very strong night, strong note, and they carry that into the postseason. And I'm not saying that they need that. They don't necessarily need a miracle run because you can make the argument they're playing better football over the course of the regular season this year, and they're in better shape record-wise than they were at this time last season. But if they want to wrap up this division and then make a lengthy run in the playoffs, you need to tweak some of the issues that have been lingering, and that's some fundamentals on defense. I wouldn't be too concerned about the offense overall. I think now that Hickson is back, they're getting healthier. You know, Manning had the bye to recuperate. Probably the timing of that was ideal. This offense should start to click. David Wilson has now emerged. His load has been increased. He's been taking on a bigger role. It's the defense right now that probably has the biggest question mark regarding this team. Can they get a consistent pass rush? Can they stop the run from one game to the other? And will perhaps Kenny Phillips stay healthy enough that this three safety alignment can be out there for more than just one game? 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You can chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Number sign Giants Chat. We go to Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, fellas? Listen, it's Tuesday, so I'm, you know, pardon me, I'm over the win. I'm still happy about the win, but I'm ready to move on and really critique our Giants. And, you know, first I'd just like to say, you know, if without the turnovers, we probably would not have won that game. I mean, the defense gave up way too many yards, and they have been. It's to the point now where I've pretty much given up on the defensive line and our linebackers outside of Bowler, even though I haven't really been too happy with his, you know, his fundamentals as of late. But, you know, what really concerns me, like the last call was saying, is we seem to be really, you know, driven by our offense at this point. And, you know, I think Hickson should definitely be there other, you know, before Reuben Randall. But the biggest concern for me is I'm afraid that Atlanta's going to have, an outcoming day where they decide to run all over us. And, I just don't understand why we cannot stop the run. That's obviously key. But more importantly, you know, when we do get ahead, our clock management is not what it needs to be. Even in our wins, our time of possession is way less than what the opposing team has. And to me, that's just basically a reflection on not running the ball when we should be running the ball. 14 points is really all we should ever need as New York Football Giants to run the ball. 80% of the plays after that should be running the ball. There's no checkoffs. Eli's making poor decisions, and I'm very concerned. We've known, you know, Atlanta's not a fearful team. I mean, I believe we could certainly dominate them if we come out with the right attitude and we impose our will, but I'm not really confident in the play calling. And I'm just wondering, you know, why, you know, you guys don't see that. Because I have nothing personal against Kevin Gilbride, but I just feel like he's constantly calling, you know, the wrong play at the wrong time and not enough runs. So I'm just wondering if you think we'll ever see a game where we just decide to impose our will and end the game with, you know, just running the ball down to defend the defense's throat.
Well, Steve, I'm looking at the game log from the Saints contest this past weekend. I actually thought the Giants stuck to the run. If you look at their last couple of drives, I mean, this is when the Giants are only up 35-27, and they get the ball after a nice Jernigan return. Bradshaw runs six, Bradshaw runs three, Bradshaw runs three, Bradshaw runs three, and then it sets up a simple 10-yard pass to Cruz. Next possession, they get a field goal because of obviously another Breeze interception, but they ran it with Wilson. They ran it with Heinoski. Trubisky, and then a quick incompletion, but it was a 3rd and 8, so obviously that's a passing situation. And then the very last drive, they ran Wilson 4 consecutive times, and then unfortunately were hit with a penalty, intentional grounding, and that backed them up and forced them to punt. So the percentage of running plays compared to passing plays down the stretch against the Saints, I thought was nice. There was a great balance. And they're going to need that to close out the contest.
You know, I was definitely pleased to see we did run the ball more, but I was just kind of, to me, it just looked like we were so predictable at the times we did run it. You know, I mean, I know the numbers are there. I will not doubt that at all. You know, and I was definitely pleased to see we made a little bit more of a conscious effort, and I hope it continues, throughout the rest of the season, and hopefully deep into the playoffs and, of course, to the Super Bowl. But I just really felt like, A, it's kind of late, but, you know, the timing just looked so predictable to me, you know, in a couple of pauses. I think it was like 2 delays, and, you know, and here we threw out, we threw it in a flat into Bennett rather than the seam. Those type of plays, they concern me. I'm just wondering, you know, if we'll ever just truly dominate. I've been a Giants fan for over 35 years, and I'm just really not used to seeing us playing this. To me, it looks kind of scared. We're just constantly trying to get the big play rather than imposing our will.
And that, I think, has been evident, and appreciate the phone call, Steve, at times throughout the course of the season and earlier. And I think that was more so before the bye, where they were, yes, looking for the home run, more often than not, where probably the smarter thing would have been dump it off to the running backs, try to get 5 or 6 yards to set up more manageable second and third downs. And then since they've come out of the bye, I think they've done a better job in the versatility of the offense in utilizing the running backs. I think Heinoski has been used more. That was not nearly as evident before the bye. Martellus Bennett has become a heavy factor in the offense, and they're not necessarily running him down the seam. You're seeing him get 10, 12-yard passes over the middle. That's a positive thing. That's not necessarily looking to take big chances or air it out. So there has been an evolution with the offense. You have to give the Giants something for that. But yes, there's also still glimpses of some issues where, yes, Martellus Bennett was throwing the football right in the flat. He slips and he only gets back to the line of scrimmage and gets no gain. But that's not necessarily a bad play calling. That also could be just the breakdown of the play. You know, execution comes into play when you're looking at how the offense is conducting itself. It's not just Kevin Gilbride calling into Eli Manning's headset and saying, we're going to run this play. Manning's also looking at what the defense is giving him. He's audibilizing. He's changing things up. Remember, he has a lot of flexibility in this offense. So there's so many factors. And you and I and every other Giants fans, it's easy for us to look at the film without knowing the play and say, oh, well, Manning should have dumped it off on the left side. This guy was wide open. But we don't know what the different checkdowns on that play were. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm a so-called expert and I know everything that I'm talking about in terms of every play the Giants are running. It'd be impossible to decipher that. You got to take it for what you see. I think it's been a balance. I think they've improved in areas, and there are areas to improve as well. But I don't think it's the time that you need to hit the panic meter regarding this offense that, oh my God, you know, they're in trouble. They're taking too many risks. When you put up 52 points, and yes, there was one special teams touchdown, you're doing something right. And keep in mind, the Giants have had a top five offense the last couple of seasons. So Kevin Gilbride, yes, may have had his issues throughout the course of the season, but if you look at his entire resume, I think he's done more good for this Giants offense than he's done bad. You got to look at the whole package as opposed to one or two games. They have the next 3 weeks to continue to gain some rhythm. They have plenty of weapons that they're also now utilizing that were not utilized nearly as much earlier in the season. David Wilson, welcome to the party. Now, Wilson had 13 carries last game. He was lucky if he got 3 or 4 carries prior to that. That's a new wrinkle. Dominic Hickson is now healthy. Not necessarily a new player, but he hadn't been out on the field the last couple of games. So they're working him back into the mix. And then Martellus Bennett has been more heavily involved. So all of these things in play, sometimes when a lot of players come back, you need a game just for everybody to get back on the same page. Let's see what happens against the Atlanta Falcons. Let's see what happens against the Baltimore Ravens. This is a good measuring stick to determine, is this offense going to continually be up and down, or are the penalties or some of the check down questionable passes, some of the running struggles, just maybe a short-term issue and not so much a long-term factor. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. We go to our good friend Len in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How we doing, Len? What you got?
Good. Everything's good. Yeah, everything's good. We're 8-5. One game ahead in the division. We control our own destiny. Team is looking better. I think we're probably in the third quarter of the playbook. There's probably more in there. We're certainly opening it up a lot more. You can just tell that. You can just tell from the formations. You know, I can't get too sophisticated here and talk to you about pass patterns and things like that, but I can tell you from the formations, it's a whole different offense. Gilbride's done a good job. He's really a good offensive coordinator. All you need to do is look at the record over the last 7 or 8 years. He's just a terrific offensive coordinator. Well, I mean, we're top five in scoring in the league. You know, you can't be number one in everything. Running game, I know everybody wants more, and I do too. I mean, I'm a fan. I want more. But, you know, we're probably top 15 in run, you know, in yardage. It seems to be somewhat controlled, though. It seems to be inside. We can't get to the outside. You know, watching the outside game against the Saints the other night, an awful lot of white shirts standing up at the end of the play. I mean, we're not knocking anybody down on those plays to the outside. But inside, I think we do pretty well. Now, we're probably a better pass-blocking team than we are a run-blocking team. But, again, you can't be number one in everything. And you know, as long as we got Eli and we got that pass game going and we got Gilbride calling these plays, we're changing these formations, I see no reason why we can't win the next three games.
And you're right, Len. It's not as if they need to run for 200 yards per game.
Yeah.
You just want some consistent production to take some pressure off of Manning and have some openings down the field. And you're right. They have been, to me, I think, better in between the tackles as long as Bradshaw doesn't have to do some dancing on the outside. But in the long run, Bradshaw and Wilson have two different styles. And Wilson tends to run off the edge, Bradshaw more up the middle. They're going to need both of them to complement one another to get better consistency on the ground.
Well, on Wilson's 50-yard touchdown run, that cutback was a thing of beauty. And maybe that's where we're going to really do some business, is when we can start to go outside. And, you know, the first hole, David cuts it upfield. But, again, you know, I'm pleased with where we're going offensively. Defensively, you know, the tackle's got to do a better job. We got to control that run. Okay, I'd like more sacks, but you know what? We're getting pressures. You know, we're getting pressures. And, you know, we're getting some turnovers. I mean, things are looking good. I mean, everybody should be feeling pretty positive about this team and where we're going. You know, as long as we stay healthy on offense and we got Eli, you know, back there and, you know, the pass blocking continues, you know, 100 yards, 110 yards on the ground, that's all we're going to need with Eli's arm and these wide receivers.
All right, Len.
So, hey, let's go, Giants. Thanks for taking my call. Always good to talk to you guys. Great show.
You got it, Len. And we appreciate you chiming in on the conversation here this morning, as well as listening. 201-939-4513. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live. I'm Lance Meadow. John Schmuck stopped by earlier, went on to take care of other business. We may see him a little bit later on as well, but we're taking your phone calls here this morning. And we stay in Maryland. We go to Janiel. Janiel, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, Meadows? I got to say, woo-wee, for David Wilson. When I knew the Giants were playing the Saints, I was like, oh, Lord. But then when David Wilson had that big special team 97 touchdown, and then he had those big yards, and then he ran 100 yards and two touchdowns, I was like, wow, that's the player that they needed. And may I add, they didn't utilize him to full strength because when he's at Virginia Tech, he was a screen catching running back, which gets to the problem. And, I know the defense has not been getting a lot of sacks, and I would like to see some rotation along the D-line, and maybe a Jomo can come in. But I like a defense that gets turnovers, interceptions, and fumbles. But let's face it, the New Orleans Saints, their arsenal is their passing game, and so is the Atlanta Falcons. Now, as far as our offense is concerned, Atlanta got a good backfield. They got good corners in Asante Samuels and Dante Robinson, who knows. And let's face it, Asante Samuels know our offensive scheme system. That could be a problem. and in the offense. I watched highlights of the Carolina Panthers play the Atlanta Falcons. They did a lot of running plays, and also Cam Newton threw the ball deep to Greg Olsen. And in reference to that, because I know Martellus Bennett got to get the ball a lot, do you think we can utilize their pass, though? And can we get Ryan Terrain involved in the running game? Because, you know, as I'm in Redskin country, Ryan Terrain had ran good when he's healthy against those NFC South teams.
Well, Ryan Terrain did have success when he was with Washington, and Janiel, appreciate the phone call. I just don't know if the Giants are looking at their depth chart right now and saying, we want to sacrifice carries to Ahmad Bradshaw and David Wilson to get Ryan Terrain in the mix. And also notice that they went to Lumpkin more than they went to Terrain, and I think part of that is because Lumpkin is better in terms of picking up the blitzes in pass protection, and that's one of the keys. And Tom Coughlin also touched on even Wilson's development in pass protection. The reporters asked him, evaluate Wilson's play, because it seemed that he had more snaps in the contest against the Saints. And one of the first things Coughlin complimented Wilson on was picking up some of the weak side blitzes. And that's a positive thing, because if the Giants are fortunate to get to the playoffs, they're going to see some pass rush heavy attacks, and they're going to need Wilson, if he wants to do some damage on offense, to be on the field in some passing downs. And that's a good step in the right direction, because remember, we've had tons of conversations earlier in the season. Why is David Wilson not getting any carries? The same thing was to be said about Darrell Scott last season, and pass protection was always the issue. Now you're seeing him make strides, and I think part of that is because he's been taking a lot of the first team reps now that Andre Brown is hurt. When Bradshaw was nursing injuries, it was Andre Brown always taking the first team reps. Brown's now out of the equation, so now all of a sudden, David Wilson is the one running back they're turning to. And the old cliche, practice makes perfect. Well, he's out there each and every down during practice. It's now starting to translate to games. I know Janiel touched on a lot. I just want to make a few more notes on some of her comments. She also threw out the name Adewale Ojomo to potentially help ignite this defensive pass rush. And Ojomo had a great preseason, and I think he's a nice piece to the puzzle for the Giants, perhaps long-term. It's just a numbers game at this point. They are hurting in other positions that I don't think they can afford to dress an additional defensive lineman. They need some additional help, remember, at safety, because Kenny Phillips is hurt. You need a corner, because you've lost some corners earlier on in the season. That's the biggest issue with Ojomo. It's not necessarily that he's not healthy. It's not necessarily that he can't produce. It's a numbers game. That's what it comes down to. Just like Jernigan wasn't dressing earlier on in the season. They had too many wide receivers, and they had other options in special teams. That's been the biggest issue. Marvin Austin hasn't been dressing too, because also a numbers game. It's a little bit disappointing to see Marvin Austin not out there, given that he's been with the Giants organization a little bit longer, and he's finally healthy. That may be a player, perhaps, but at this point of the season, my philosophy is, if you're not seeing a player out there on the football field, I don't see anything drastically changing over the next 3 weeks, where they're going to be inserting one player who's been inactive, and he's going to be able to save the season. Asante Samuel, Janiel also threw out, you know, the former Eagles corner, she was alluding to the fact that there's some familiarity with Samuel knowing the Giants well. They've gone up against other players that have moved from one team to another. I don't know how much of an advantage that's going to give them, mainly because, keep in mind, Samuel's hurt. He's been nursing that shoulder injury. And the Falcons secondary was great when Samuel and Dante Robinson are healthy, but they've been banged up, and I think that's why teams have had some success throwing the football in Atlanta. Right now, it's too early to tell who's going to be on the field, but there's a chance that Samuel may not play against the Giants. And if that's the case, they're going to throw in some of their younger slot corners, and perhaps that makes it an even more juicier matchup for Eli Manning. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Want to try to get to as many calls as we can here leading up to the finale of the show. We go to John in Allentown. John, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How we doing, John? What you got?
I would like to talk about Eli reverting back to some of his old tactics. I mean, he's a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I'm Giants all the way. Watching his last game and the game before that, you can start seeing he's looking down these receivers. And, you know, the safeties, you know, they're reading them. They're reading his eyes. And you can actually watch them, especially on that pick, on that sideline pass. He's not looking away from the receiver that he wants to throw to. He's actually looking them down. And these safeties are picking that up. As far as Atlanta, you know, Atlanta can be beat. If Carolina can go in there and do what they did, we can go in there and just destroy this team. make it look like the wild card game that we had last year in the post, and basically just shut them down. Of course, they're going to score. They got some healthy guys that, you know, they didn't have last year. But this season, I think we could still shut them down and make this a big game. That three safety look is definitely going to be important and key to stopping this offense for the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, John, appreciate the phone call, and that's all dependent on whether or not Kenny Phillips is healthy enough to get on the field. If he's able to get in the mix, clearly the Giants were able to pick up where they left off against the Green Bay Packers, where they were able to showcase that three safety alignment. If he's not in the mix, who knows whether or not they'll be able to toy with that. I know Jaquan Williams returning has given them some additional flexibility and versatility in terms of what Perry Fuel can throw out there. But you add Kenny Phillips back into the mix, then the defense heads to a whole other level. And that's how you're able to slow down passing attacks. Why they had success against the Packers and the Saints, to me, was the aggressiveness of the play at the line of scrimmage. Challenging guys, not letting them run and get comfortable as they get set into their routes. Jimmy Graham, he was challenged all the time. Marcus Colston, Lance Moore. And now you're going to have a Falcons team that has similar personnel. Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones, Roddy White. You give them big bursts off the line, they're going to be able to get comfortable down the field. Julio Jones is a huge playmaker. Matt Ryan loves to air it out. If Julio Jones has a one-on-one matchup and Jones gets an extra step on a Corey Webster or a Prince Amukamara, that's going to be an issue throughout the course of the game Sunday for the Giants' defense. But if they challenge these guys at the line of scrimmage, that will put them in a very good position to limit the damage that Matt Ryan is able to do. Plus, it will put Matt Ryan in a position where he may have to air it out so many times that he's going to put the ball in harm's way. I mentioned earlier in the show, he throws 45, 46, 50 times. Matt Ryan tends to throw interceptions. That game against the Arizona Cardinals, he threw 46 times and he threw 5 picks. Now, a lot of them were deflections, but Arizona was in a prime position to capitalize off of those turnovers. And it brings me back to the contest against the Saints. Yes, the Giants did rely on turnovers. They got 2 interceptions. They got 2 fumble recoveries. And it put their offense in great position to succeed. That's sometimes how football games play out. You take what the opposition gives you. You say thank you very much, and you punch it in the end zone. And the same plan that they followed against the Saints, getting touchdowns as opposed to field goals, is exactly what they need to bring to the table against Atlanta. You could say that the Falcons' offense hasn't been as dynamic as it's been the last couple of weeks. So maybe they're not capable of putting up 40 to 45, but you can't assume that. That's why every opportunity that the Giants' offense has on Sunday, you don't want to see Lawrence Tynes out there. You want to see the offense out there able to get it into the end zone. They were able to do that because they spread the wealth against this Saints defense, and they're going to have the same personnel back out there again come Sunday against this Falcons team. We go back to the lines, and we go to Bruno in Atlanta, enemy territory. Bruno, what's happening?
Not much, Lance. How you doing? Glad to be on the phone with y'all.
Glad to have you. What you got?
Yeah, first off, before I get to my question, I just want to agree with Len. I mean, I know Kevin Gilbride, he's not, I wouldn't say he's the best offensive coordinator in the league, but I think he's done a great, solid job for the Giants over the past couple of years. And, you know, it's a combination of Gilbride and Manning having been together for so long. I mean, you hear about different quarterbacks that have had a different offensive coordinator every year. So, I mean, I think it really benefits us, and that's again, a testament to Tom Coughlin and the staff he's put together. As far as my question, I can tell you here in enemy territory, I've been telling my coworkers all week that the Giants are going to stomp the Falcons. I've been having fun with that. But on Atlanta Sports Radio, they've been all the fans, the Falcon fans down here, have been just calling for Jaquizz Rodgers, and we you know, Michael Turner, we did a great job on him in the playoffs last year. But if and when the Falcons coaching staff adds Rodgers to the rotation with more frequency. I mean, you're looking at Roddy White, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, Jaquizz Rodgers. That's very formidable. And he's similar to Darren Sproles. So, I mean, yeah. we can stop that kind of formation. But I'm just curious, number one, I guess the status of Kenny Phillips. Is he currently doubtful or probable? Because that three safety look is going to be very key this weekend. And also, I've been pretty impressed with Prince Amukamara. I mean, I'm not ready to put him in the Pro Bowl, but I think he's done a solid job. A lot of times when there's been a long play on our Giants this year, it's been on Corey Webster. I think Webster can correct his mistakes. He's also gotten picks to make up for his mistakes, but I think Amukamara has been pretty solid. So, I guess just the question is, again, just the status on Phillips and your take on Jaquizz Rodgers and our three safety against that offense.
All right, Bruno, thanks for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it. And let's talk about the status of the secondary right now for the Giants. Still too early to tell in terms of Kenny Phillips' status. Clearly, he re-aggravated that MCL injury, so they've been evaluating him. He's been getting treatment around the clock, and it's a matter of how much he's going to be able to put in practice. He was listed as doubtful, remember, for that Redskins game, and then managed to get out there, but was still limited. And then they just couldn't get him over the hump this past week to be able to make a contribution in the contest against the Saints. I would say right now it's very iffy, and it will be dependent on, can he get out there Wednesday? Can he get out there Thursday? Can he sustain that over the course of the next 3 days of practice so that they can see that he won't be in a position to re-aggravate the injury? So right now, Kenny Phillips, still a question mark. It would be too premature to classify him as probable, questionable, or doubtful, but I would say it's very iffy at this point. I think having Jaquan Williams back, remember, don't overlook his return, could give them some flexibility, and not necessarily utilizing a three safety alignment, but Williams has the speed, he has the versatility that you can almost use him like a safety. With respect to Prince Amukamara, remember, now there's an injury concern for him. He has the strained hamstring, so his status in question as well. But in terms of his overall production this season, at times he struggled against the run, but in terms of his pass coverage, I think he's really come into form this season. I think he's done a nice job to complement Corey Webster. And as Bruno touched upon, Webster has been beat more often than not. Not so much Prince Amukamara. He's done a nice job in terms of sticking to his assignments, challenging opposing wide receivers. And as long as they can continue to get that production, they'll be sitting pretty. The problem is, if Amukamara doesn't play, then you have to turn to your depth chart, which has not been nearly as strong as I think the Giants would have liked. And John talked about this earlier in the show. Michael Coe's not in the picture anymore. You turn to Jaron Hosley, who has had his ups and downs as a rookie, but has had experience earlier in the season, which is a positive. But the Giants clearly are a stronger team when they have Prince Amukamara out there. And I just want to turn to one other note that Bruno brought up before we get to more of your phone calls. The Jaquizz Rodgers element, and the fact that I was just going to say exactly what he said, similar to the Darren Sproles type of player. And Sproles gave the Giants some trouble this past weekend. When he was out in open space, they threw a pitch to him, they threw a screen to him. The Falcons like to utilize Rodgers the same way, and that's why gap control is so important. It doesn't matter who the Giants are going up against, and I know it's become repetitive because we've been really talking about this topic for weeks. It's always been, guys are taking too many chances. Where are the linebackers when you need them? But when you're talking about a mobile running back that is not just going to be dangerous in getting handoffs, but they'll put out into the flat, that's a linebacker assignment. And that is why the Blackburns, the Bowleys, the Rivers of the world, you can't get too greedy. You can't get too conservative. You need to find a level of play in the middle. And I don't know if they have found that balance just yet. If they can shore that up, that could help in doing some damage control against the running game. And the Atlanta Falcons running game, 27th in the NFL, just over 89 yards per game. But a couple of weeks ago, they went up against the Saints on that Thursday night contest, and I know the Saints are dead last against the run. They had some success again on the ground. Now, that doesn't mean that if they go against the Giants, that all of a sudden they're going to be shut down. The Giants have had trouble in stopping the run as well. So you can't take the numbers for granted on paper. You need to bring your A game no matter who you're going up against. All right, let's go back to the lines. We've got Jay in D.C. Jay, what's happening?
Good morning, lads. I wasn't going to call in this morning. I was just sitting there, you know, listening to the show, enjoying it. But I heard a caller call. I think it was Steve. Called in and complained about, you know, the play calling on offense. And, lads, I'm getting sick of it. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm getting sick of people questioning Kevin Gilbright. I'm getting sick of people questioning Perry Field and his play calls on defense. People have to realize that it's not the plays, it's the execution. If you look at all of the Giants' losses, other than the Cincinnati one, we were in the game. But our own execution is what hurt us. the Redskins game, the penalty, the discipline hurt us. It's not the play calling. It's the execution. And like I brought up yesterday, a lot of people keep complaining about the running game. Amon Bradshaw is 200-something yards from 1,000 rushing yards. Twice better than he had last year. That's twice better than he had last year. I'm also, you know, I'm looking at, enough of that, but I'm looking at the Falcons game now, against the Falcons game. You brought up a good topic, Lance, about our front four. Our front four haven't done nothing this year, and I have to agree with you. Nothing that will really highlight or put any fear in any quarterback this year. I think they need to get that together because we paid them guys too much money for them just to, you know what I'm saying, not to get any sacks. I mean, they look bad out there. And I have to give big props to Prince, because Prince looked good. A lot of people keep talking, but Prince looks good. If you look, like you brought up, if you know all the deep bombs, they're going all to Corey Wester. It's all Corey Wester. It's not, you know, it's like they're not even looking Prince's way. Also, Lance, I think that we can beat Atlanta, because when Atlanta played Carolina, I think they was 1-for-11 or 1-for-13 on third down. So I think if we apply pressure, I don't think they're going to run the ball because they kind of changed this year, Lance. They're more of a passing team this year than running. So I just think the Giants, if they put pressure on Matt Ryan, if they stop the run, we can shut them down.
Well, you brought up the third down conversions, and the Falcons are pretty good on the season, but you're right, they did struggle against the Carolina Panthers, and part of that was because they were throwing the ball so much. They got away from the run because Carolina jumped out to a 23-0 lead, and that's the same thing the Giants did to the Saints. If you get out to a strong start, you build a big cushion, Jay, you're going to make your opponent one-dimensional. So if they can do that to the Falcons again, they're probably going to struggle on third down, because they're likely going to be in third and longs as opposed to third and manageable. So that's a key stat to monitor during the course of the contest. Just like the Saints weren't in a lot of friendly third down situations because they couldn't run the football in the second half. They had to make up that big deficit.
And another thing, Lance, a lot of folks keep hyping Atlanta. I don't see a lot with Atlanta Falcons. Like, I don't see they don't look as their record shows. Does that make sense? They don't look at the record shows to me. I don't think they are 11-1 team.
Well, they're 11-2. Let's give them credit for another loss too.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say they're 11-2. They lost their second game this past week. But you're right. I understand the point you're making. They've played a lot of close games, and appreciate the phone call, Jay, because I do want to squeeze in some more calls here on Big Blue Kickoff. They have had a lot of tight ones where they probably could have wound up being on the opposite end in terms of posting a loss as opposed to a win, where it's come down to a last-second field goal that's gotten them out of a bind. And that, to me, is not necessarily a sign of a dominant team. When you look at a team that's 11-2, for example, the New England Patriots, who improved to 10-3, they have blown out some of their opponents this season, and some quality opponents. You look at the caliber of play that the Falcons have gone up against this season, the strength of schedule, not the top rankings, but they have had to get by some teams that maybe other teams have bullied around, such as the Carolina Panthers, who had a very up-and-down season. Tampa Bay's been up and down at times, and they have taken Atlanta deep into the fourth quarter, where it comes down to the execution of a little play here or there. But we could sit here and talk about all the trends that the Falcons have brought to the table. You and I both know that the NFL could be unpredictable at times. And the old cliche, any given Sunday, anything can happen. That doesn't mean just because the Falcons haven't been dominant, they can't put together arguably their best performance of the season on Sunday. Especially if they're looking on paper at the Giants right now. Just like the Saints did. The Falcons are going to come out running the football. Their rushing attack may not be consistent this season. Trust me, they are going to feed the ball to Rodgers and Turner to start that contest. If the Giants can't stop the run, they are going to continue to feed the football to those two. The Atlanta Falcons want to win the time of possession battle. They are going to want to keep Eli Manning and company on the sidelines, and they are going to want to tire out this Giants defense. That's why it's going to be crucial for the Giants to stop the run, because if they can't stop the run, they're going to have to rely on turnovers. And as we talked about earlier in the show, turnovers are not always going to be there. You look at the giveaway, takeaway statistics this season, the Giants are tops in the league. They're plus 16. Bears right behind them at plus 13. Atlanta this season and these are the NFC rankings that I'm looking at, are seventh in the NFC. But when you look at the AFC rankings, which is curious compared to the NFC, New England is plus 24. There's a big disparity on the AFC side as opposed to the NFC side. New England plus 24, Houston plus 14. And those two teams went up against each other last night, and it was New England that had a big advantage in that department. We go to Stephanie in Atlanta. Stephanie, what's happening?
Hi. I think that the Giants are going to win on Sunday because I feel that, like, even though the Falcons, I mean, they've had a good season so far, and everyone's, like, hyping them up, like everyone's saying. But I feel that when it comes to winning games, like, defense is what wins. Like, offense, they might have been doing really good. But lately, I feel like they always come at the end. And I feel like you can't give it all at the end because that's not always going to win games. Like, if you saw that when they played South Carolina?
Who, the Falcons? You talk about their last game?
Yeah.
They played the Panthers at Carolina. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you saw how at the end they just, like, they gave it their all and they started getting touchdowns. And I was like, you're doing it at the wrong time. Maybe you should have started off strong at the beginning, and maybe you could prove to us that, like, I'm from New Jersey and I live in Atlanta, but I'm always going to be a Giants fan, and I feel like if they want to prove us Giants fans here wrong, like, they have to start off strong and end strong, not just maybe the first half they're starting off strong and then they, like, it turns over and they're not doing as well as they were at the beginning, or they start off strong at the end.
All right, Stephanie.
It's just like an up and down thing that I see.
And you're 100% right, and appreciate the phone call. Consistency is the sign of a good team in this league. If you don't know how to start off a game and you don't know how to finish a game, there's going to be the fair share of doubters. And we took our fair share of calls on the doubters regarding the Giants earlier in the season. A lot of people were angry that the Giants weren't getting enough respect. And our answer week in and week out was Giants need to show consistency. If you want to be a respectable team in this league, you want to be high in the rankings, you want the media to pick you as the favorite, then you need to prove that during the course of four quarters you can be consistent and during the course of the season from one game to the other. If you can't do that, there's going to be holes and there's going to be issues on your team. And that's why after this loss to Carolina last week, there is concern in Falcons Nation. And it's not just what's happening this season. It's also what has happened in seasons prior. And I don't want to make this Falcons.com all of a sudden. But if you want to look at the Falcons' track record, they've been there, they've done that in the regular season. They have been a very good regular season team the last couple of years. The problem with Atlanta has been, can they translate that to the playoffs? Last year, a productive regular season. They meet the Giants in the postseason, and what do the Giants do? The Giants shut down Atlanta on all angles and all cylinders. Two seasons ago, the year the Packers made the run. Great regular season. Atlanta's the top team in the NFC. They run into a very hot Green Bay team. Atlanta's got the home field advantage. And Aaron Rodgers and company put up 40 points on the Falcons. You've got to prove that you can take the level of play in the regular season and bring that into the postseason. That's exactly what the Giants did. They caught fire at the right moment, and they continued that through the postseason. That's been the main issue for the Falcons, and I think that's why people are questioning it. And Tony Gonzalez was asked about this so far during the week, and he joked about how he understands Falcons fans are jumping off the bandwagon now because there's the doubters. And a lot of the Falcons players are saying it's understandable because until our team proves that we can do it from week to week and from regular season to postseason, nobody's going to take this team seriously. That's what I think has held the Falcons back. And that has nothing to do with X's and O's. That may just be a mental, a physical thing. Through the course of four quarters, they have struggled to be that dominant team, just as they showed against the Carolina Panthers. They were a better team in the second half than they were in the first half. Now, the Giants have had a tale of two halves. And you look back at the Saints game, it wasn't necessarily a very quick start for the Giants. Looking at the game log right now, first possession, a quick three and out. Second possession ends with an interception that was returned for a touchdown. And finally, on their third possession, they finally get it to Bennett for a touchdown. And they were benefited by the fumble by Collins that was recovered by Joseph and set them up at the New Orleans 35. So if the Giants want to be a more consistent team, they also need to get off to a fast start. And I think probably one of the best ways to beat the Falcons is to set the tone early, put together long, sustainable drives, keep Matt Ryan off the field, wear down that Falcons defense. You want to pretty much follow the same script that Carolina did. Carolina dominated time of possession in that first half. Matt Ryan couldn't do anything. All he could do is watch. And they shredded that Atlanta front seven. The Giants have the personnel to do the same. They can run the football. Giants fans have seen it at times throughout the course of this season. Ahmad Bradshaw has not disappeared. It's just a matter of, can they win that battle at the line of scrimmage? That's been a little up and down. And when I talk about winning the battle at the line of scrimmage, I'm not just talking about the offensive line. I'm also talking about the defensive line, which we've gotten plenty of calls throughout this program. We'll continue to break down this matchup. Certainly a lot more storylines to get into during the course of the week. Stay tuned for Giants.com. Tom Coughlin will address the media tomorrow. They will start to game plan for Atlanta, and that's when we'll get our first update on Kenny Phillips and Prince Amukamara, as well as Ahmad Bradshaw. Those are probably the three key injuries heading into Sunday's game. Phillips and Amukamara, more important given the status of the secondary and the fact that they're going to go up against a very heavy passing attack that the Falcons will showcase. Appreciate all the phone calls throughout the course of this morning. Special thanks to John Schmelk for joining me earlier today. Big Blue Kickoff back with you the next 2 days. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino will take you through that. John Schmelk and I will be back on Friday. We'll be joined by the Senior VP of Communications here at the Giants, Pat Hanlon. So that should be a ball of fun on Friday morning. Have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early once again, here on Giants.com. I'm Lance Meadows, signing off.